This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Listening to the best of the Patriots.
Oh, yeah!
A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Real quick, before we dive into what I thought was an interesting list, we like lists on this show, Keith.
Sure, we do.
And where the Patriots came in as the kingmakers in free agency. You hear Ian Rappaport there right off the top. DK Metcalf demanded a trade yesterday in Seattle, as we found out. It sounds like there's quite a few teams interested, including the New England Patriots. He said, quote unquote, the Patriots are always in the mix, which I thought was interesting phrasing based on some of their signing. But okay, he name-checked them along with the Raiders and Pete Carroll, along with the Texans, along with the Chargers, who I guess his former wide receiver coach is now with the Chargers as well. So it sounds like the Patriots are in. Your girl, Diana Rossini, Keith.
That's right.
Earlier today, I'm not sure if you saw these.
What does she have?
The Seahawks are seeking a first and third round pick for wide receiver DK Metcalf per sources. Metcalf is also eyeing a new contract worth around $30 million per year.
No way.
Multiple teams have inquired. My girl, by the way, Josina Anderson, and I had to have this tweet relayed to me since I am blocked by Josina Anderson. She said,
good block, Josina. Good job.
I'm told there's a team. See, there's ways to get around this. I'm told there's a team willing to get at least a third-round pick. Or give at least the third-round pick for Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf. Maybe the truth lies somewhere in the middle, but the Patriots being linked for a first and a third, at least the third when it comes to Metcalf. What do you think the market is, and how in do you think the Patriots are?
I love how wild the difference is there. It's like a first and a third. It's like, we'll give you a third. It's like, what? Like, if you're asking for a first, I would think you're not going to settle for a third. So right there, there's a huge discrepancy. I think the Patriots, it's a non-starter with their first-round pick.
Right, Number four overall. I said I'd do it for A.J. Brown. I'm not doing it for Metcalf.
I think maybe if you're looking at some of the teams in the 20s, they're like, hey, we'll just give you this pick. We're not going to also throw in a third, and that might be more fair value. I wonder if Seattle would entertain the Patriots' third, or they have two third-round picks, so maybe their higher third-round pick and next year's one, and then that way you're sort of banking on yourself being like, hey, we're going to make a big leap forward where next year's one is hopefully in the teens, maybe even in the 20s if we have a really good season. You're not giving up the number four pick. So if they are willing to wait a year for the number one pick, and maybe nobody else is willing to do that, like, is that something? I know you love Metcalf, so is that something you would do? Would you trade next year's one?
Yeah, I would trade next year's one. I would try to get creative if you wanted to, like, I don't know, and this would take some maneuvering, but we've seen teams like the Eagles do this in the past, a series of trades. You can get done what you want to get done. So I would move down from four, acquire a future first, and maybe try to do it that way as well. You know, there could be ways to get extra draft capital, but yeah, I'd be more likely to trade a future one, which you would hope would be in the teens or 20s, than number four overall, for sure.
Yeah, so I don't know what the appetite will be if there's going to be teams around the league that are willing to trade a number one pick right now for DK Metcalf. T. Higgins is sort of in the same boat. Then you also now have like an influx of wide receivers who are free agents. Now, they're older. Those guys are available for a reason. They're not worth a number one pick. But it was sort of like we hit on this a little bit yesterday. So Davante Adams, the Jets feel like we can get nothing for. And then the Seahawks are like, we can get a one and a three for Metcalf? Like, Metcalf has more prime years left in him than Adams does. But is it that big of a gap? Yeah, maybe they won't get the number one picks that they expect. And maybe the Patriots come in with number, what was it, 38 overall, which is their second round pick. That's a pretty good pick. I'd be willing to do that. Would you trade number 38 straight up for Metcalf?
Yeah, 38 to me is probably what it's going to take. I mean, again, if they want a first and a third, according to your girl, then maybe you got to throw in another later pick, a future fourth rounder or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, the gist of the trade would be 38 for DK Metcalf, and you got to give him a new deal. Yes, I would do that.
All right, spitballing here. We're throwing out some hypotheticals for you, but talking about Seattle. Seattle in the first round has the 18th pick. Would you flip 4 and 18 and get Metcalf?
Yeah, that's a good one. Because
I think that's fair.
Me too, because I already said, yeah, I'd drop down in the first round to try to acquire future assets to trade for Metcalf. So yeah, something like that, sure. And 18 might be too far down. Like, we've talked about this before. How far would you trade down? I said like 10.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you'd also be getting Metcalf and the 18th pick. Yeah, I like that trade.
Because I think if I'm in our other talk about trading down, it was more for like extra picks and who's available. I know you like Genty and Warren. I was thinking if you're getting a starting left tackle later, that's fine. Don't take him at 4. But if you're sitting at 18, who knows what's there? You still have the opportunity to trade up if you want, and you're bringing in a stud wide receiver. I'm in on that. Let me ask you this other thing, though, with DK Metcalf.
Sure.
Is, you know, everybody's bringing this up, the interview he did or the podcast he did with Katie Nolan, where he just kind of, like, dumped all over New England. Now, he's not a free agent, so he doesn't have a no-trade clause, so you can get him, but do you think there'd be any hesitancy for him to, you know, kick and scream about it or maybe not want to sign an extension? Like, I wonder how much of the him not playing in New England bothers you?
I mean, I guess on some level, I'm like, if it's a tiebreaker with another team and the money's the same, then you got to up the offer a little bit. But I'm not concerned about that. I mean, how many athletes have we seen over the years say they're not going to come to Boston, then they come to Boston?
Yeah.
So it could be a leverage play. It could be a negotiating ploy. He could really mean it. But then when they slap the money in front of him and he gets the contract he wants, he goes, whatever, I'll go there. So, I mean, honestly, to me, I think people are making way too big a deal of that. It's the same idea with Davante Adams. We talked about this yesterday. He wants to, quote unquote, play on the West Coast. Well, yeah, that might be what he wants. If you throw $65 million guaranteed in him, in front of him, he's going to go wherever he wants, wherever you want him to go, I think. So I don't put a ton of stock in that. I guess, again, as a tiebreaker somewhere down the list, it may be there, but I don't hear DK Metcalf doesn't want to play in New England. There's no way to get him. Give up the best pick to Seattle. He doesn't have much of a choice, and pay him the most money. I think he'll be content here.
And I would assume Seattle's just going to take the very best deal. Like, I don't think they're going to say, well, these two are close. Like, DK, you can pick it. Like, I think if the Patriots kind of overwhelm Seattle, they can get him. And then if they overwhelm DK Metcalf, I think he'll resign. So I'm with you. Like, I know a lot of people are quick to point that out. They're like, oh, this guy doesn't want to be here. It's like, well, really not entirely up to him.
Right.
And then if he's the highest paid wide receiver and you're like, oh, Drake May's a real quarterback. Mike Vrabel looks like a real head coach. I'm the number one receiver. You're going to pay me as such and throw me the ball, like the whole compensation opportunity thing that Vrabel was talking about. You could check both those boxes here.
Yeah, and so I think if you're negotiating against the Raiders and the Chargers and the Texans, that's not a terrible place to be for the Patriots. So DK Metcalf for a first and a third, let's maybe split the difference. Call that a pick swap, as Keith said, 4 and 18. Call it pick 38 for DK Metcalf, because I imagine the Russini report is from the Seattle side. Maybe Josina Anderson has a report from some of the team's negotiating side. Anderson seems low. Russini seems high. So split the difference and call it pick 38. Would you do that for DK Metcalf? I would. 617-779-7937. Russini also had this one, Keith. Multiple teams have contacted the Bengals about the availability of T. Higgins after Cincinnati placed the franchise tag on him on Monday. They've been told the receiver remains unavailable as the Bengals continue to pursue a long-term deal. Are you buying that he's a Bengal and teams won't be able to trade for him?
I honestly don't. Until T. Higgins is lining up week one, catching passes from Burrow, I won't believe it. They're just too cheap of an organization. They haven't paid Chase yet. Chase is going to have – the only way Chase will sign is if he's the highest paid receiver of all time. And then do you think they're really going to follow that up with another mega deal? Not only that, I think they're going to look at how much
– but they don't have to do it with a mega deal. They could just do it with the second franchise tag, right?
No. Right. For one more year, they could. But I think when they look at that, they're like, oh, my God, that's a ton of guaranteed money. It's only one season.
That's true.
But when they look at the books for 2025, they're going to say, is this really something we can do? And if teams are willing to trade for him and they can maybe try to find the next T. Higgins in the draft, I still think that's what they're ultimately going to do.
Okay. So T. Higgins may be available, maybe not available. Again, that's Diana Russini. You could jump in at 617-779-7937. Meanwhile, Yahoo Sports ranked the most interesting teams heading into free agency. Okay,
I said it was interesting.
We like a list, Keith.
Yeah.
32-1. So, for instance, the Colts, doesn't get more boring than them at 32 in free agency. Scrolling here, you have the Rams at 10. Scrolling down, you have the Bears at 5, Broncos 4, Commanders 3, Bengals 2. Number one, your New England Patriots. The most interesting team in free agency, Yahoo writes, the Patriots lead the NFL in two categories, most cap space and most roster holes to fill. New England probably needs to sign multiple receivers and multiple offensive linemen, and they have the cap space to do just that. New England has the ability to sign anyone it wants. So I agree they have the ability, and I agree they have a lot of needs on the team. So check there. Do I trust them to spend it? Do I trust them to get it done? That's where I'm kind of in a holding pattern. And I don't think it's unfair based on their track record to question it. I also don't think it's unfair based on some of the reporting. Phil Perry was nitpicking all these free agents. And it wasn't his analysis. It was like inside analysis from the combine and the team nitpicking these free agents. Same thing with the Boston Herald, Andrew Callahan and Doug Kide. Oh, well, here's how the Patriots feel about this guy. And that guy might not be a McDaniels fit and blah, blah, blah. They have the cap space to do it. They have the needs. Are they going to actually be an interesting team next week when legal tampering starts on Monday?
I do like how they are the Dos Equis guy of the NFL right now. they are the most interesting team. Now, what
Stay
does that get you?
Stay thirsty, my friends.
Who knows? You could finish second in all these free agents. You get nobody. No, I don't have a lot of faith. This is like the Red Sox. It's just like the Red Sox. Now, they changed my mind a little bit this year. You know, trading for Crochet and signing Bregman, you're like, okay, things can change. But for the most part, Kraft wasn't spending money with Belichick. We know Kraft didn't spend money with Mayo. And now I think it all kind of comes down to, will Mike Vrabel make a big enough difference? Will Mike Vrabel be able to talk Kraft into spending money on these guys? Because Elliott Wolf couldn't last year. Elliott Wolf was clearly given a budget, re-signed a bunch of guys, and then went kind of, you know, bargain bin shopping after the fact. So everybody knows they have cap space. Everybody knows they can spend money. But how aggressive are they going to be? Are they like so afraid of what would look like a bad deal in a year or two? Plus, it's football. So it's like, how bad of a deal can it be? I mean, I guess you get into like the Eagles fans talking about dead cap and everything else. But I'm like, usually you can kind of maneuver around it. You're not forced to have these guys for a long time. Like, I don't know. This team is in such desperate need of an influx of talent, and they have the money to do it. They should, but am I confident that they do? No, of course not.
No, me neither. And like to your point, Calvin Ridley last year, people were kicking and screaming, oh, it's so much money, and how are you going to do this? a bunch of receivers are about to blow past Calvin Ridley in that contract. It's going to look much more reasonable. And the cap always goes up in the NFL, and contracts can always be maneuvered. You know, you can convert bonuses to guaranteed money and push the cap hit down the road, the dead cap hit down the road. There's a lot of different ways to do it. And so, to me, there's no excuse not to do it, but I don't have a ton of faith the Patriots are actually going to get it done. So they're the Dos Equis man. What'd you call him again?
Yeah, they're the most interesting man in the world. They're the Dos Equis of the NFL.
And again,
or Dos Equis guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His tagline is "Stay thirsty, my friends." That's what it was.
And I think so.
The Crafts have left us plenty thirsty when it comes to free agency. So we'll see if they actually get it done. What's your confidence level as the most interesting team with cap space and need, where the supply should meet the demand? What's your confidence level they actually get it done?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
There you go. Let it breathe, Andy.
You play LL Cool J, I might just let the whole song play. Love me some. Ladies love LL and ladies love James. Andy loves James. LL Cool J, that was no Andrew Callahan talking. Short arms, Ted Johnson's favorite topic here. Which, by the way, I looked up the, what's his name again? I'm already forgetting his name, the guy that I think they're.
Will Campbell?
No, Membu.
Armand Membu.
Armand Membu.
Thank you, Dan.
His arms are like 3/4 of an inch longer or something.
All the difference.
Is it?
Yeah. 100%.
Okay. All right, let's do a quick TED Talk. Impromptu. I need a TED Talk. You're going to tell me arm length. I want to be clear here because I don't want to just say like 1 inch matters and that could be taken in a whole different direction. We're talking about arm length and pass blocking.
It's time for a TED Talk.
There's a football player, Ted Johnson.
Smacked down. He hit a pothole that time in the form of Ted Johnson.
Stories from on and off the field from three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
Ted Johnson scrapes right into Jerome Bettis' face and puts him on his back.
This guy is going to be one of the best inside linebackers in football.
Damn right he is.
WEEI Afternoons.
All right. Tell me why that 3/4 of an inch. So, like, it's not even a full knuckle to end
Did
a
you
finger.
Say that's
a,
he was his arms are just as short as by 3/4 of an inch.
I'll look it up to get the exact number, but it was a small number. It was not even a full inch. I don't believe.
What was his hand size comparatively speaking?
Oh yeah, I knew you'd ask for that.
And you know,
All right, start talking about why longer arms are better, even if it's only an inch.
We've already covered this.
No, we haven't.
This is covered ground right here.
I find it hard, you people that are so fixated on these old school numbers that I have watched.
I put an importance in the reach. I do when it comes to certain positions in particular, in offensive tackle. And I gave you the numbers yesterday. Historically, nobody with arms as short as Will Campbell's has made it on an All Pro team or in a Pro Bowl for the last 25 years. So if that doesn't
small sample,
if that doesn't like you know snap you out of it. And come on to my side, then I don't know what else will.
Yeah, but
the proof is in the pudding, bro.
How long did it take for like a sub-6-foot quarterback to win a Super Bowl? Probably a long time. And then they were like, hey, this Drew Brees guy is pretty good, or whoever.
That's fine, Andy. That's fine. If you get him later in the draft. At number 4, I don't think it's worth taking a chance on it.
Okay, so Dan Ball has looked it up. Give me the arm lengths first for William Campbell and then the other guy.
Armand, you really need to learn this name if you're going to trumpet him for the next couple
this
months.
This show is all about other guys.
Okay. Well, Will Campbell, Ted, this is for you because apparently Andy doesn't care. Will Campbell's arm lengths, we talked about before, 32 5/8 inches. Armand Membu, 33 1/2 inches. So you're almost getting a full inch there.
Excuse me? It's a big difference.
Big difference.
An inch?
It's
an arm length.
But he has 2 arms, so that's 2 extra inches.
I hope he has 2 arms. Otherwise, it changes the hold.
So there you go.
But I did notice on your side of the street, if you have these numbers up, and I'm apologizing if I'm putting you on the spot, Dan, but wingspan was much bigger for Membu, right?
Ah, that one I don't have. I can give you the hand.
Okay, give me the hand.
Okay. Getting rough. All right, Will Campbell, 9 9.5 inches.
Okay,
for
that's
Will
his
Campbell.
Hand
that's
length.
His hand length. And Armand Membu, 9 3/4.
So he's only got a 1/4 inch extra on the hand.
Mm-hmm.
Does this resonate with you, or do you think he's undersized too?
He might. You know what? He could be. He could be. Yeah, he actually could. No. Could be.
And not as good. Doesn't have the playing resume of a Will Campbell.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Is he now height wise?
You proved your
eight?
Point.
I think he's a little shorter.
Because Will Campbell was 6'6", right?
I thought 6'5", but I just...
Every inch
I don't
matters.
Know. I know. We're getting all caught up. I laughed at that.
No, you're getting caught up. You're getting caught
up. You're caught up in the topic. Well, you think it's very important.
I do. And so do a lot of other people. The people, that's why they measure you at the combine. There's a reason you get measured.
No, I know.
So that there's history on all the different measurements in certain positions. The specs on certain positions are better than other specs. And so you know that going in. So I think it's something worth talking about because of the emphasis they put on it.
You know who once told me that it was okay to have short arms and small hands while grabbing me and moving me around?
Most people in your life?
That's hurtful.
Oh, that's
hurtful.
Really good, man.
That's
good
hurtful.
Yeah, that's
bullying.
Awesome.
It feels like pretty bullying. Dante Scarnecchia.
Sure.
And it was on the Optum Club. We were doing... Yeah, assistant coach interviews, and I think this must have been in the Isaiah Wynn era when arm length was a story. Is he a guard? Is he a tackle? And Scar vehemently defended short arms. Now, to be fair, Scar probably recommended Isaiah Wynn, so he probably had a skin in the game, so to speak, with making it work, and he had success with Matt Light.
But he really pushed back against the measurables and went more with, can the guy play? Can he? And Vrabel sort of did this.
Oh, Scar said that? Oh, well, then I changed my mind. That's all you had to say.
Don't care for the sarcasm.
Okay, yes, it's just, I mean, all right, well, then, you know what?
It's just the greatest offensive line coach in the history of the world.
What, guys with short arms can play football, and so we can move on from the topic.
Dan Ball, do you have the wingspan now? That's a popular NBA measurement. What does it mean in the NFL? I don't know.
I don't know. Let's ask the guy that actually played in the NFL. Armand Membu, 81-inch wingspan. And for our guy, Will Campbell, 77 3/8 inch wingspan.
So there's a
significante.
That was almost 4 inches there. That's a little bit more of a drop there in the wingspan. So that's just flat. That's just the simple measurement, right? Arms straight out. Tip to tip.
Yep.
It's like almost
fingers.
Please. Tip to tip.
Fitzy, stop it. What you're doing. I know this is this time of year, and it's always going to happen, but it seems like the Patriots are going to be at the heart of this. And I got to tell you, I am going to be ticked off if they take, well, if they end up with one of the blue chippers like Carter or Hunter, different story. But if they take, I don't know, let's say Mason Graham or one of these other guys, and then I have to watch as Will Campbell racks up Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl. While Drake May is running for his life behind some mediocre, middling free agent offensive line, I'm going to be ticked off.
You're going to be just mad that you were right and everyone else was wrong.
No, I'll just be mad that it'll delay the process a little bit here. Let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937, down my way, South Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Cam in Fall River has a comment, I guess, on arm length right now. What's up, Cam?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, it's just that you can look this up, the stigma on the arm length on these tackles. It first reported that they like to see a baseline of 34 inches for the length of arms for tackles. And they thought Campbell was going to be in the 33 range. Turns out he's in the 32s. So now, surprise to them, Membo comes out and he's in the 33s, but now all of a sudden he's okay. Like, they're trying to bash Campbell, and now this guy's still under the 34 minimum, but now all of a sudden he's okay. I don't understand it.
Great point, Cam. And now I'm reading mock drafts where they're going fourth and fifth. So arm length matters, except these people that are supposedly involved and tied into the NFL are doing these mock drafts and putting two of these tackles, which I think, so if you were doing a mock draft, you wouldn't have these guys in the top 10, right? These short arm, small hand tackles.
I would not.
Just bump them down.
Yes, correct.
Mid first, late first, correct. Whatever. I mean, I got mock drafts that I find somewhat reliable, credible.
Yep.
Got them at 4 and 5. So I just...
Beauty, we're not going to know today or tomorrow who's right.
It's like three or four years down the road.
We got some time.
Right.
So just
when Will Campbell's doing the Pro Bowl games and hitting like longest drive or something with his wee little arms with the golf club. What's up, Fitzy? What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing.
I had conversation. I don't know what bananas. Dan Ball gave me. This tea what that happened? Dan Ball gave me is hot me hopped up. Oh, hopped up on Dan Ball's fancy lemon tea.
Hopped up on Mountain Dew.
Yes, what were you working on over there?
I was keeping track of our possible March Madness.
Oh, I love. So stick around, WEEI Afternoons. I know it's a little cliche, but we're all doing it. That's why it's cliche. We're going to be doing a bracket, and I think we've come up with the best bracket at the station. It's going to be fun. It is Boston sports related. We might have Ted Johnson in there. We might have Wiggy in there. I don't even know. I'm not even sure. We'll see if they make the cut, but I think it could be a lot of fun.
Isn't it crazy, though, how much time we're spending, legitimately? We are spending an inordinate amount of time.
On 0.6 inch.
Yes, we really are. Half an inch in hands, 5 inches in wingspan. This is bananas. This is really, like, do you like the guy? Yes or no. Do you think he'll fit your system? Yes. Is he the answer to a long-standing problem? Hopefully. But it's wild how much time we're spending. There's a part of me now that just hopes they land a guy, Ronnie Stanley, Moore, someone else, like a serviceable to plus level tackle in free agency, draft somebody a little bit later who's more raw, doesn't have the same experience that Membu or Ursary even, although I like that kid at Minnesota, or your boy Will Campbell, and just give him time to grow and just get a big prototypical giant hoss of a guy.
I don't hate that idea. And you know who's mastered that? The freaking Eagles, who did it with Jason Peters. Mm-hmm. And then who's the guy now? The rugby player, Maliala, whatever. I don't even know how to say his name. But they basically went your route. This guy looks like a tackle. He's big. He's long. He's and we'll develop them. And it'll take a couple of years, but we'll develop them. And they've nailed the hell out of it. Whereas we're talking about a guy who plays football in the SEC, like a Will Campbell, like he's played a lot of tackle.
I'd like to take kind of all this discussion completely out of it by just signing Ronnie Stanley. So the original cut that we came into the segment with was Callahan talking about being desperate and paying Ronnie Stanley a lot of money. That's not being desperate. That's doing what you have to do to get a position covered that you have a huge, huge need for. All these arm length, if you sign Ronnie Stanley, it's a moot point. And then you can be creative with that fourth overall pick. You can think outside the box. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go D-line, or you can go where I think maybe they should go is with just offensive weapon. And they're saying that in this year's draft, they are going to draft for best player available, not draft for need. So if that's the logical thinking, then don't be surprised if a Tyler Warren is picked by the Patriots at number 4 if they get their left tackle spot figured out via free agency.
Okay, so you'll like this on ESPN.com. They did a story on NFL free agency projecting offers, deals on 7 stars. And they had their local ESPN Nation writers write it up for teams that might be bidding on some of the top free agents. And one of those is Ronnie Stanley. And Mike Reese did the write-up for the Patriots. Mike Reese offered $100 million over 4 years with $65 million guaranteed.
So with Texas-Houston's fees, that's $40
million. Oh, that seems...
It's expensive to live here.
And that was compared to the Ravens' offer of 3 years, $60 million, $43 guaranteed. And probably not a surprise, 3 for $60 or 4 for $100, $43 million guaranteed or $65 million guaranteed. Mm. ESPN says Ronnie Stanley would take the Patriots' offer, and you would have a $100 million left tackle.
Good.
Which sounds great, Ted. The one fly in the ointment here that I'll throw out there for the two-time Pro Bowler, Ronnie Stanley, who's about to turn 31. These numbers. You know how many times in his career Ronnie Stanley has played every game?
I do not.
Once. You know when that happened?
Tell me.
Last year. 17 games last year. The previous 4 seasons before that, 13, 11, 1, 6. Mm-hmm. Would that concern you?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Why not?
You don't get the contract year jitters, like the worst time for someone to possibly have their best year as a contract
Why would I, if sitting where I sit, worry about that?
Well, because if we spend all this time lusting after Ronnie Stanley and then he misses 3/4 of the season on his $100 million contract, we're back to square one and Vidarian Lowe's playing.
Are you auditioning for that Micro Machines commercial?
This tea is amazing.
What in the world? Dan Ball, what did you put in there?
I can't hear you guys. Sorry. It's Lemon Lift from our friends over at Bigelow. No free ads except for that
Lift.
One.
Gave me a lift.
Yeah, and it's somewhere in the middle of the caffeine scale. Shouldn't be impacting you more than, say, a Lucky Energy would.
Oh, well, maybe I'll test that tomorrow. Do the comparison tomorrow. So you legit don't factor something like that in, the fact that over the last 5 years, he played in 6 games, 1 game, 11 game, 13, and then, he needs a contract. He played in 17. He's ready to go.
You know what, Andy? Yes, ideally I would factor that in. But if it meant losing the player to someone else, then I don't care about that. I got to do whatever I got to do to sign the player,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what his injury history is.
So that's back to the Callahan, you're desperate kind of thing.
Yeah.
You don't really get pick and choose.
Doesn't it feel desperate?
Yeah, but I would put that in the same category with your DK Metcalf argument as well. Would you prefer to have a guy you have a relationship with if you hand him $130 million to be your number one wide receiver? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But you know what? Preferences went out the window when you haven't had a good wide receiver around here for 5 years.
Yeah.
So if he's the only guy available, and that's where... I'm actually okay with desperation. It is what it is, right? Like, that's why you're paid the big bucks, to take the chances where they're, I guess, calculated and not just errant. You don't want to be willy-nilly with the money. You don't want to blowtorch it. I'm sure Robert won't be happy if you blowtorch all his money. He hasn't spent a lot of it the last couple of years anyway.
Let's go back to let's try to compare. So in 2021, the now infamous, uncharacteristically aggressive spending spree, what did they net? What did they walk away with? They walked away with Devon Godshow, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, Kendrick Bourne, and the Green Goblin.
Sounds about right.
Right? That was about it?
Sounds about right.
Also, Matthew Judon.
Oh, my God. And the linchpin of it all, Matthew Judon.
Matthew
so
Judon,
six big players, right?
Yeah.
So this year, they have more money than they had back then.
Yes.
Let's try to put a whole picture together here. Who do we think is going to be part of the whole bubble?
But I would also argue, I think, and I'm trying to remember this exactly, I think back then there were less teams with more money. Feels like the league has more money now. Teams are spending
more money.
Which
is a problem for the Patriots and any other team that is desperate for talent that has crapped the bed in many drafts, not just a draft.
Right.
Many drafts.
You need more desperation where teams are in, like, making cap decisions and they're like, well, we can't keep both our good guys. We sign one. That means one hits the open market. So you are the Patriots. You get to sign one of them. Yeah. So I think there was a less competitive market back then. The mm-hmm. Patriots were more.
It was just a different market because nobody had the same kind of money to throw around like this. So let's sort of put together a. Let's say you can't trade for DK Metcalf. Let's say you can't get Higgins, whatever. Mm-hmm. What does an overall 3 days into it Patriots haul in free agency look like?
Jacoby Myers and Cooper Kupp. I like his idea.
That would be great.
I'm excited about that.
I would be amazing if they got them both. But you have to trade for one and probably.
I'd be happy. The Patriots need to acquire guys via free agency and via trade if they can. And my dream scenario would be you trade for kind of what Chicago did. They traded for a couple guards this offseason, giving away mid-round draft picks. Patriots do the same thing, but with the wide receiver position and a Cooper Kupp and a Jacoby Myers. And then they sign a mega deal, overpay for a guy that gets injured, isn't healthy hardly ever, to Ronnie Stanley. So that solidifies your left tackle position. And then you go from there, man. And you go best player available from that point on.
All right. What about the other side? Because they've been trumpeting, a lot of these rumors have been trumpeting defensive front.
Then go sign another big Williams. Go sign Williams.
Okay.
All right. Well, as a matter of fact, to that point, as I do my Windhorst fingers on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
You look like an old woman, too.
I felt like it. Right now, NFL.com has their updated, most recently updated by Greg Rosenthal, pretty good football guy, top 100 players available. The best available player, now factoring in contracts that have been laid out, including Zach Bond and all this jazz, ranked number one, best available player right now in free agency, Milton Williams. Number two?
Ronnie Stanley. So if they, when was the last time one team signed the top two free agents available?
I don't know, but I would like now to be that time.
Who's third?
Unavailable.
Excuse me?
I think it was someone else that just got signed.
You clicked off the page.
No, I'm there. Well, I have too many porn windows open. Number four, Darnold. Five, Josh Sweat. That ain't happening. Six, Chris Godwin. Seven, Carlton Davis. Eight, another potential Patriot, Charvarius Ward.
What about Godwin? We haven't spent much time talking about Godwin, and I know there's some perception that he might just end up back in Tampa, but, I mean, Ronnie Stanley might end up back in Baltimore. We've talked a lot about Ronnie Stanley. Chris Godwin, where's our lust meter on Chris Godwin for the Patriots?
I love him. I mean, he's
over
tough.
Adams, Kupp, Myers. Where would you? How do you feel?
I mean, look, I think Myers is the best value. You know, he's not going to be the high end, but I think he gives you more bang for your buck. Only at $10 million, but Chris Godwin is. I love his style. I love the way he plays.
But the ankle went that way.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I mean,
injuries happen. Dak Prescott had one of the worst injuries I've ever seen. He came back and signed a massive deal as a quarterback for the Cowboys.
Every single wide receiver in the free agency class this year has something you can point to, and some blemish. So it's not going to be, you're not going to get the perfect guy, trust me, or else he wouldn't be available.
Can I just say, tell me this is the most mid free agent class in NFL history without actually having to tell me that beyond a single name. Your 12th highest NFL free agent, Drew Dahlman. Yep.
I don't
center
know.
For a football team.
The Herald did say center was a sneaky position of target
I've
for the
mentioned
Patriots.
It a bunch. He plays for the Falcons. I've mentioned that a bunch of times. By the way, Jake Andrews, is he ever going to play a snap for the Patriots?
Probably
or
not.
No?
Okay. I wouldn't count on that.
He's going down the so Moffy wasted guard center.
Yeah, a name you'll remember and say, I never really saw that guy play, so...
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution?
Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Omicid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Omicid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I'm going to dive into the world of the Patriots here. And as we get closer, 1 week from free agency. Mm-hmm. Free agency starts March 12th, so that is next Wednesday. As we get closer, and I think it was Albert Breer who said this on NBC Sports Boston about the Patriots have a long way to go. I'm starting to get a little concerned that we're not going to see major moves this offseason. I think we're going to see just the basic free agents. I'm hoping I could be wrong, but as a Pats fan, it doesn't look like things are changing with Mike Vrabel as a coach and the way that they're going about the personnel aspect, similar to what we saw last year with Jerod Mayo.
Well, you got to give him a chance. I mean,
Right, but do you feel like they've changed their philosophy when it comes to personnel from last year to this year?
I hope they have. I won't know until they actually sign somebody.
Okay.
Like Curtis said earlier, they are the new interest kings. Like, they're making phone calls and trying to see if they can shake A.J. Brown loose. Like, they need to get something done, mm-hmm. and get it done for me to believe it. Like, the Ravens did not franchise tag Ronnie Stanley.
Right.
Like, I would offer, you know, 100,000 trumps for Ronnie Stanley. Like, first thing when you can.
When free agency opens up next week.
But we'll see if they do that.
I don't feel like there's been that, like, even the whispers, you know, that you hear coming out of the combine, and Shime knows this. Like, I don't even feel like, you know, there was no, oh, the Patriots were in on Deebo Samuel. The Patriots they're interested in Cooper Kupp. Like, there's kind of been none of that. And that leads me to go, like, what direction are they going to allow Mike Vrabel to go in? And that's why there's a little bit of concern moving forward, especially being a week away from free agency,
mm-hmm.
that we might see them just be basic players in free agency. And if they are that, now it's like,
you're going to be very disappointed.
Yeah, because you're not helping out Drake May. You're not mm-hmm. giving Vrabel the best opportunity for the best players. So
okay.
Hopefully I'm wrong.
Wiggy, thank you.
You got it.
We were talking at the start of the show about the availability of free agents. And yesterday, I think, I don't know where you stand on this, but it was Andrew Callahan and Doug Kide and I believe Elliot Friedman, Curtis.
Oh, well, I listened to that twice just to make sure we don't repeat it.
Who all suggested that the Patriots are kicking the tires on a DJ Metcalf trade. So, Wiggy,
you may get
what you want.
Yeah, I'm all over that, even though I think he was on some show and some lady asked him.
Katie Nolan.
Was that who that was? All right.
Yep.
So she asked him, would he want to live in Massachusetts? I mean, I don't know who that podcast. There's a million podcast chicks out there.
It was interesting that he was on that one.
Yeah. And
but he went out of his way to say that he would never want to live in New England.
Yeah, and I think,
are we going to play that audio during they said it or no?
I mean, it's old audio, but I'd be happy. Okay. Yeah, that's from like last year.
But he did like the organization.
So that was a long time ago then? Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So who, like, maybe he's changed his mind. Like,
maybe but he saw like the testimony yesterday, safest city in America.
But he did like the organization. He said, it's a great organization. So she must have just been asking about living in the city and maybe he was like, oh, it's cold up there.
Right.
I think he's from down south originally, so maybe he was
I mean, to be fair, would we want to live here?
No.
We're here. Maybe he can come too.
Yes, I'd like to live in Florida or Texas where it's warm and no state taxes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on board with that one. I'll give up a second round pick for DK Metcalf all day long. And that would go to Shime's mark. I would trade down, maybe pick up an extra second to use that for DK, and then I would draft Tyler Warren at number 7, or where if I think that's where Shime had him. Now you would have DK Metcalf, who's young, like 26 or 27, at wide receiver, and you would have a young, up-and-coming potential stud in Tyler Warren at your tight end position. So you'd be covered at those two positions for Drake May for the next several years. That's what I would do. I would be all over the DK Metcalf thing.
Ready to stir the pot, Keith?
Yes, I am. Born ready. I didn't realize what was going to happen yesterday.
Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about Philly or we're talking about...
Philly! My God!
Okay.
So we talked to Tom Curran about A.J. Brown, and then the next thing you know, all it is, all night long, every time I would open Twitter,
it's so many angry Eagles fans.
It's 20-plus. You know how it does on Instagram? Or on yeah.
It is an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The gang gets angry.
So you'd you go away from your phone, you come back to it, 2 hours later you look at it, notifications, 20-plus. Yeah. You click on them. None of it's directed to us. It's just like...
They're all mad at this New England sports fellow guy.
New England sports fellow takes our thing, which he did give us credit. He just said,
he did. He credited it. No disrespect to New England sports fellow.
I got no problem with New England sports fellow. I got a lot of problems with a lot of people, Jones.
Not
New England sports fellow. But anyway, he takes our thing and he quotes Tom Curran. We asked him about A.J. Brown. And all Curran said was A.J. Brown is more realistic than T. Higgins and DK Metcalf.
Okay, well, don't say that's all he said because that's a pretty significant line.
No, but, okay, you're right. That is a significant
line. Let's not be dismissive of that. That's a significant thing he said.
I'm being submissive. No, I'm not. What I'm saying is I didn't think it was that outrageous to the degree of the comments that we received.
Oh, yeah.
The comments are off the charts. Now, I couldn't even read them all. It's nonstop. This thing is, I think it's taken over the internet. It was. I think this was trending. New England sports fellow trending?
Maybe
this?
It replaced hashtag T-tagged.
T-tagged.
That's the new trending.
People aren't talking about T-tagged anymore.
Wow.
People are talking about this instead. And it was, holy smokes. It was nonstop. People were hot and bothered by it.
No, it's every time I look at my mentions. It's just 20 more Eagles fans yelling about how big of idiots we are or Curran is. Yeah. Hashtag go birds.
And
that's my whole timeline.
And some things that are a lot meaner. A lot of things,
they're much, much meaner is what they are.
It's hilarious. But do you believe Curran? When you just take that on the surface, A.J. Brown, who just won a Super Bowl.
A.J. Brown.
E-L-G-S-E-S Eagles!
At the risk of getting them angrier, they're not the brightest bunch. But my whole timeline is them. Look, when Curran says he's a more reasonable get than Brandon Ayuk, who's apparently on the trade block, and T. Higgins, who's definitely on some level available in Cincinnati. He's pissed at the team. Mm-hmm. They haven't given him a long-term deal yet. Or DK Metcalf. All names that we've heard all offseason long. Curran says, wow, sensible of you, Rich, to circle back to A.J. Brown.
Yeah, he's like smart. He basically patted me on the back.
Because he's a more reasonable get than those names?
Yeah.
I'm not saying Curran's reporting anything because I know he'll get mad.
Yeah.
But... I don't take that lightly that Curran thinks he's more in play than those other names.
Well, I connect the dots with Vrabel. This is the one guy all along, and we've brought this example up a million times about how he loved
A.J. Brown and vice versa. He told A.J. Brown he wouldn't get traded. Then he gets traded, and that sort of began the end of days in Tennessee for Mike Vrabel. It got John Robinson fired, and then ultimately Vrabel was gone. But A.J. Brown loves Vrabel. Vrabel loves A.J. Brown. You know, with guys like Davante Adams, we're like, would he play for McDaniels? Would he not? We don't really know. DK Metcalf has said, I don't want to go to New England.
Right.
T. Higgins, I don't know if he's been asked specifically about the Patriots, but one guy, and also I think it's important to note, A.J. Brown better than all those guys.
Yeah, A.J. Brown, humble opinion. A.J. Brown would be the best name out of all those options.
Out of all those guys.
Yep.
A.J. Brown, I think, is a top five receiver in the league. And I don't think I don't just throw that around, Jones. Actually, I probably have like 10 guys in my top five, but I think
conservative.
You're a small top five guy. You're a small hall guy.
Notably.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, whatever, Tyreek Hill, some sort of order. And I don't know. I think A.J. Brown's on that list. It's funny. I even had a friend of mine who lives in Philadelphia. I don't know where he texts me the video of Curran saying that about A.J. Brown. He goes, get away from him. He's like, leave him. He's like, he's ours. He's like, you're not getting him. I was like, well,
leave A.J. alone.
I'm like, what if we offered you like a really high draft pick? He's like, get out of here. He's like, we're keeping A.J. Brown.
Okay, well, this is where I think it's an interesting discussion, and let's just keep it in discussion form now, because I don't want Curran angry at us that he's got like a big scoop here or anything like that. Maybe it's really him more. It's really more a commentary on T. Higgins and DK
like
Metcalf.
How far away they are from those guys,
yeah,
maybe?
I mean, it could be more of that. But we'll get it all day long here on Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937, phone and text number. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram. It's going to be tough to get in there with all the Eagles fans.
I'll probably miss it. The next couple of days, it's just going to be Eagles fans. This thing happens. Every once in a while, something goes off, and it's like, I can't see the interactions. Like, they all get, like, flooded together. So maybe save it.
At Jones and
maybe
Keefe.
Go to Instagram. A little safer space there.
It's busy. It's busy at the mentions right now. But at Jones and Keefe, you can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. I would suggest being locked in there all day long. We're going to unveil our uniform bracket.
Yeah, this is exciting.
March Madness, Jones and Keefe bracket, all the uniforms. You're going to want to see those today on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Nobody else got the memo. It was jersey day today. Just me. Look at
that. Oh, yeah,
I was
right.
Like a real fool.
Oh, yeah, if you're watching.
I got
a real
memo. I forgot.
I don't own any jerseys outside of the Revs jersey we got the other week. It's legitimately
should've
the only jersey
that.
I should have worn that. No, I'm saying I should have worn that.
That might be a sleeper in this year's tournament.
But Keefe is rocking his Damon Stoudemire, like original Dino purple pinstripe jersey. I mean, that's a great jersey.
It's a dinosaur dribbling a ball, for God's sakes.
That's a great jersey.
Anytime the mascot is some sort of creature and they're doing something to play the sport, I'm in on it. Like the Oriole holding the bat, love that. He's going to take a big hack, take a swing. The Raptor dribbling the ball, excellent.
So we'll get to that later on today. You can start voting at Jones and Keefe certainly as early as tomorrow, perhaps by tonight. We still have some negotiating to do with our bracket since we gave ourselves a lot of unexpected homework last night.
Mm-hmm.
You can also watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. But for all the angry Eagles fans out there.
And there are many. They are legion.
You guys just won a Super Bowl. Like, I honestly kind of respect the anger. Like, you guys just won, and you're all fired up.
Yeah.
But I guess you need somebody to be angry at. I guess we'll be that, or Tom Curran will be that, or New England sports fellow, or whoever.
Take it out on the fellow.
But when it comes to the Patriots, like, is there something they could do? Because I hear this a lot. Curran even said, to his credit, in the answer to you yesterday when you asked him, Keefe, well, geez, I don't know why Philly would do it. I mean, is there anything the Patriots could do to entice Philly?
Yeah,
they have the number four pick.
They have the number four pick. And we've talked a lot about, you know, the number four pick for Myles Garrett or Micah Parsons or just simply trading down and getting more picks and everything else. And you wonder, like, championship teams, we saw it with the Patriots every year. You can't just bring everybody back. You know, that's why it's impressive. Even a team like Kansas City, they win a Super Bowl. Was Tyreek Hill there the rest of that run? No. You just saw the Philly give Saquon Barkley a huge raise. You know, they're probably going to lose Josh Sweat. I don't know if they're concerned about him losing a leg, but they're concerned maybe they're probably going
to
lose him.
But no, but to your point, they're shedding a bunch of pieces, right? They released Darius Slay. They released Bradbury the other day, not that he was playing.
So, like,
they're probably
going to
lose Sweat and Milton Williams.
Chipping away a little bit, and you wonder, like, do they look at it and say, wow, we really kind of won the Super Bowl on defense, tush pushing, and Saquon Barkley, right? Like, I love A.J. Brown. I love Devontae Smith, for God's sakes. But do they look at it and say, can we still win without this guy? And what if I threw this out there for you? So the number four pick, as much as I love A.J. Brown, is way too much.
You wouldn't do it.
Straight up number four for...
You wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't.
For a top five on Keith's eight-player list...
It just seems like you
wouldn't give up the number four pick. So
it seems like in the NFL, the number four pick. Yeah, yeah.
But hang on, he's already been dealt for a first round pick.
No, I know, but that pick was in the 20s, and that's when he was 4 years
younger. It was probably all, I don't remember off the top of my head. It was probably also in a good draft. This draft stinks. And so.
Well, they got Treylon Burks.
No, that's who they got.
Oh, no, that was 16. So what was that, the 16th pick then? Yeah. Something like that. So maybe that's what he got traded for.
I mean, look, I would trade the number four pick for Myles Garrett, I would trade the number four pick for Micah Parsons. I would trade the number four pick for A.J. Brown.
Look at you.
It's a bad draft,
Keith. How about that?
It's a bad draft. It's looking like a less and less impressive free agent class. So would I trade the number four pick in this specific draft for A.J. Brown? Yes, I would.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if Philadelphia would do it. I don't know if the Patriots would do it.
So I just...
But would I do it? Yeah.
But I just have a hard time with what players should go for versus what they do go for. So, for example, Davante Adams, no trade partners. Cut him. Cooper Kupp, probably no trade partners, going to get cut. Mm-hmm. Deebo Samuel, fifth round pick, and some people mocked it. A.J. Brown's better than all three of those guys that I just mentioned, but the number four pick versus just like an out-and-out release is wild to me. So is there something else you can get in return? So the Eagles winning the Super Bowl have the 32nd pick in the draft. Could you do like a giant pick swap there? Or something along those lines. The Patriots also have the 38th pick. Could they? I don't want to just give them the fourth pick and then move up six spots. But like, is there something to do there where the Patriots still get a pick and a player, but they give the Eagles the number four pick? Like, I'm fine giving up the four pick, but I don't know if the value is the same just for a guy as great as he is in A.J. Brown. So if it was A.J. Brown and number 32, mm-hmm. which maybe Eagles fans would be like, we're not doing that. But the number four pick is certainly something.
So you'd give them... Four, you'd get 32 and A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd do that.
Like
that I would do. That I would run to the podium to
here's
do.
The question for all these angry Eagles fans and Patriots fans as well. It's 617-779-7937.
I do hope they trade him, even if it's not to the Patriots, to somebody, just so I can retweet every single one of those guys.
Like, he's never going anywhere.
Not possible. It's not possible.
Twitter would break.
Would need a bot farm to go back and retweet all these Eagles fans.
That's true.
But no, is there a way to do it? Like Curran said, I don't know why the Eagles would do it. I hear over and over again, why would the Eagles do it? Well, make it worth their while. Would the number four pick get it done? Eagles fans, Patriots fans, would you give up the number four pick for A.J. Brown? I would. What would you guys do? Again, 617-779-7937. Real quick, Keith.
Yeah.
After we talked to Curran yesterday, the timing on this is interesting. Matthew Berry?
Hmm.
Fantasy sports guy?
Yeah.
The talented Mr. Roto, I think, is initially what he was.
He was also in Avengers Endgame.
Was he?
Odd.
Do you ever read his fantasy stuff?
No.
There's like a whole like lead up, like preamble about like his life that I just skip and get right to
his
fantasy
life.
I swear to God, yeah.
Does he have a podcast? Podcast.
Maybe, but it's like the man has a whole preamble until you get to his fantasy recommendations.
He wants you to know him.
I blow past that and I go right to his fantasy recommendations.
I do. I mean, whether you like him or not, he really helped make fantasy sports what it
is. He's the talented Mr. Rhodes.
I'm not going to call him that.
I think he was a trailblazer in the
industry. But he's been at NBC now for a while, right?
Yep. He was formerly
ESPN guy forever.
Correct. Yeah. And now at NBC. And so he's got 25 the most interesting rumors that he heard at the NFL Combine. 25 of them.
All right.
Number 14, tucked right in the middle. I don't know how strongly he feels about this.
Maybe not super strong.
He says, to the point about the shallow wide receiver market that he referenced earlier, I've heard the Patriots will, all caps, do whatever they can to get a real wide receiver one for Drake May and the new coaching staff. I heard they're knocking on all doors.
Okay.
Seeing what they can possibly trade for. And one person told me they heard the Patriots called Philly asking if A.J. Brown was available. Shrug emoji on if that's true. Or what Philly's answer was.
I'm just going to write it in my article.
But this, he had 13 points before it.
Yeah.
But this much seems certain. New England will aggressively try to upgrade its wide receiver room this offseason.
I hope so.
Okay. I mean, maybe Curran's heard something similar. The Patriots have called Philly asking about A.J. Brown. They want A.J. Brown. Doesn't mean Philly will give him up, but maybe there is something to it. Maybe there's some smoke to the idea the Patriots are knocking on the door about A.J. Brown.
But
and he doesn't say anything about Philly's response. Curran didn't say anything about Philly's response. But it would make sense if the Patriots were interested.
But is it dumb? Right, because is it dumb for the Patriots to ask? No. It'd be dumb if they didn't. You know, and if Philly says no, then there you go. Like, famously, years ago, John Lynch called the Patriots and were like, what about Jimmy Garoppolo? And they were like, no. And he's like, what about Tom Brady? And he's like, all right, we're done here. But, like you might as well.
What else?
What's the harm? Guys get traded all the time. In fact, as you said, the player we're talking about himself, you acquired via a trade. And you gotta rearrange your roster. You're paying different guys. You're choosing not to pay different guys. So honestly, it's great. It's a great idea by the Patriots if they're trying to get receivers. And wouldn't this also, if this is true, wouldn't this also tell you what a say Mike Vrabel has?
Yeah.
I mean, of all people, like, good Lord, if he's like, hey, what is it going to take to get the guy who just won the Super Bowl, is dumping Gatorade on Nick Sirianni at the end of the game, I was ready to, like, walk away from it. But I was like, you know what? Let's circle back on this.
If they trade for A.J. Brown, I'll no longer be worried about Elliott Wolf and his role.
Elliott Wolf will be like, I had no idea.
I'll bend the knee and I'll
that
say
guy Mike wasn't available.
I'll say Mike Vrabel's in charge.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So would you guys give up the number four pick for A.J. Brown? How do you make it interesting for Philly? A lot of Eagles fans I know think there's no way he gets traded. How do you do it? Would the fourth pick get it done? Would it need to be 4+? Again, you can jump in, 617-779-7937.
Brown originally went for a first and a third. It was the 18th overall pick, which they turned into Treylon Burks, and then also pick 101. That was also 3 years ago, so you know he was younger at the time.
Okay, but wow. So he went for a first and a third then.
So middle first, though.
Right.
So like the number four pick, I mean,
the number four pick is probably more valuable than those two picks that moved.
Yeah, he's 27. He's only 27 years old. He'll be 28 in the summer, so he's got his age 28 season coming up. So he's younger than a lot of the guys we've talked about too.
Good point on the text line 617-779-7937. I don't want Elliott Wolf dealing with Howie Roseman. That's a mismatch.
I would have done the same if.
Sorry.
What was that now?
I thought I had this.
There it is.
Misfire. Yeah, that is not ideal. The head-to-head tale of the tape, Elliott Wolf versus Howie Roseman.
But who would actually be dealing with Howie Roseman?
Mike Vrabel.
I mean, you know, if they're talking A.J. Brown, I would hope it's Mike Vrabel.
Elliott Wolf's the one that's on the phone, but Mike Vrabel's giving him all these signals in the background. He's like, we can do that. No, we cannot do that. We actually, we can. Can I call you back? I'm sorry. I was not prepared for this.
I got someone on the other line.
I gotta go. I got the 49ers on the other line. No, you don't.
Take our deal right now, or I'm going to go the 49ers deal. Rabel's like, no!
Like, they don't have AJ Brown. We're going to get AJ Brown from someone else. Like, what?
A lot of people pointing out, I've seen this in the Twitch chat. I also see this on the text line. People comparing it to the Red Sox is just more interest Kings level stuff that we beat the Red Sox up for. Why are we giving the Patriots a free pass?
It's true. I mean, I guess the one difference here would be, all right, maybe Mike Vrabel can change things, but I get it. It's still Robert Kraft's money. You know, we were laughing about the line the other day about, well, Mike Vrabel might not want to play, you know, pay player X. And we're like, really? Mike Vrabel's the one saying no to that? So, yeah, if you want to compare him to the Red Sox, by all means. Now, the Red Sox, at least this year, and that's why I'm, like, hopeful that the Patriots will do it as well, they did get a guy. They spent big money on Alex Bregman. You know, Crochet, not big money, but a pretty significant trade. Like, they were willing to move on from one of their really good young prospects to get him. So they made two really aggressive moves in the offseason. So, is it possible maybe the Patriots will? I mean, I just wonder, like, how much losing can you do? And if the Crafts are going to blame Belichick on the spending, fine. We might have almost believed you if you then spent the next year and you didn't. And so you've been back-to-back 4-13 seasons. You've swapped out quarterbacks. You've swapped out coaches.
Yeah.
You got to spend this year.
Sooner or later, you're going to get bullied into a move. The Red Sox got bullied into some moves.
Right. Rafael Devers, they did sign. Whether they regret that or not, they did sign him. And so now there is also a certain level that they have to spend to. So it's like, all right, the Patriots do have to spend some money, but will they be up at the cap? I don't know. Probably not.
On the spending, real quick, Dan Graziano went through, it was like the top 7 or 8 free agents at ESPN, and he projected all the contract offers. I'm sorry. He had the beat writers for all the teams submit their offers, and then he picked the best offer for the top 7 or 8 free agents. So, like, for instance, Mike Reese put together an offer for Ronnie Stanley.
Yeah, did you get him?
4 years, $100 million, $65 million guaranteed. The Ravens beat writer, Jameson Hensley, 3 years, $60 million, $43 guaranteed. Graziano picked the Patriots offer.
How about that?
He says, this is the kind of deal that makes a player feel as if the team wants to build the offseason around him. Ronnie Stanley considers himself one of the elite left tackles in the league. This is a contract that shows the Patriots agree. Reese also submitted a bid on Milton Williams from the Eagles.
Take these Eagles.
Don't fill up Reese's timeline, Eagles fans, on this one.
Uh-oh.
He submitted a 4-year, $97 million offer, $55 million guaranteed. But Milton Williams, in this hypothetical scenario.
Sure, fun game.
Went with the Vikings offer, 4 years, $96 million, $75 million guaranteed.
How likely do you think Ronnie Stanley signs with the Patriots?
If he gets to market, I think likely.
Really?
My fear is
oh,
not.
I like that. You just think he won't.
My fear is he stays with the Ravens, but if he goes to market, Patriots have the most money to spend. They should get him.
So any team that's not the Ravens, you think they have the best chance?
Yes.
Yeah, I hope you're I mean, really hope you're right. That changes everything. That changes how you approach the draft. That changes the rest of free agency. So I would be all in on that.
So the only reason I bring up the Graziano thing and the hypothetical, and it's just a hypothetical and an exercise. Brees expects him to spend. Graziano expects him to spend. And so the takeaway would be, okay, maybe there's you know, guys left over in free agency that aren't quite what we thought. But will the Patriots be in on them?
That was the voice of Tommy Curran. And joining us now on the phone line, as he does each and every Thursday at 3:30, is Tommy Curran. Tommy Curran brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tommy Curran, could you expand on that? Do you think if the Patriots are Siberia right now, what were they last year? Because I think we all feel like they've taken a step forward with Mike Vrabel and Drake May in terms of their marketability. So how would you sort of come to grips with that?
Well, I think I'm basing it on previous, what we've last seen. The last time players had an opportunity to decide whether or not they wanted to come here would have been last year's free agency period and perhaps Brandon Ayuk. So, you know, players are looking at the Patriots as in they are Siberia until we find further information and data. Like, how appetizing are they? I mean, Phil Perry and I spent some time a few weeks ago talking about free agent wide receivers and where the Patriots fit in terms of palatability if you're a free agent wide receiver. And I think we put them like fifth or sixth behind the teams that have the best players. So it's more, I was saying that more based on players, and I said right now, but until proven otherwise, they are looking at it as an unappetizing destination. What they have going for them is a quarterback, a head coach with a plan, and experience, money, and an offensive coordinator who can afford you some things. So, but I do think they need to start winning to be a much more appetizing destination. Do you disagree with that? I mean, maybe Siberia was a little extreme, but where is more less appetizing right now for around the league? I think there are fewer places now that are unappetizing than were last year. How's that?
Yeah, no, I agree. We were talking about this earlier, and my only point was a lot of places that I would have sort of dubbed Siberia at points in recent memory, Houston, Cleveland, Washington, they turned a corner and became not Siberia because they got a new head coach and a new quarterback, and I'm thinking, hoping that that's sort of the travel brochure that the Patriots are putting out right now.
Yeah, and I think that that's a great way of looking at it, but even Houston, they attracted players prior to C.J. Stroud going there, not necessarily as free agents. They had to trade for them. They had to manufacture. They had to show some progress. You know, who did Washington re-sign last year? Who did Washington collect in free agency? Not a lot of great players, but the ones that showed up were really good. So I think that there has to be, if you're a free agent, a level of buyer beware if you come to the Patriots, and the Patriots and Mike Vrabel are going to have to kick ass, which I do think that they will be able to do to a large extent when it comes to talking about what's appealing about this team.
Tom, maybe you can either weigh in on or settle this debate that Hart and I have been having on who will be more important to or impactful on the 2025 Patriots. Hart believes that Drake May needs to be the most important person in the building on the field or sideline, whereas I believe the biggest impact on the 2025 Patriots will be and needs to be felt by Mike Vrabel.
Well, I definitely think it's Vrabel in terms of the same way the Patriots in the 2001, 2002 period, the most important person was Bill Belichick. May's performance, May's embrace of what Vrabel is trying to convey is important because I think right now I would agree with you because I think it's the culture. And Vrabel has pointed that out a number of times. I think Vrabel's quote of, we have to protect the football team, he said it like two or three different times, is really interesting because he's explaining that you have to have, you know, some some sanctity of what you're all about. And you need to be able to make it very clear to players that they have to put the team first and shelve their personal interests. So while May is extremely important and will be the hood ornament for this franchise for at least the next 5 years, hopefully for them longer, right now the guy who is, you know, driving the car that has the hood ornament on it is Vrabel.
Hey, TC, the Patriots, hey, bud, the Patriots clearly have a lot of needs, but one of them is defensive line, edge rusher. And I thought it was interesting. I mean, maybe when you look kind of deeper into the numbers, maybe not so much. But, you know, Joey Bosa was released by the L.A. Chargers. He's going into his 10th year. You know, his sack total, not that impressive in the last 3 years. It looks like he's got about, you know, a little less than 10 just combined in the last 3 years. He's missed a lot of games because of injury. You know, is that a guy that you think is worthy of consideration? And is that somebody that you think would fit a profile of what Vrabes wants?
That's a great question. And, you know, it would be great if we had more time. And I think Vrabel spent a fair amount of time at the combine speaking to the media members who were there about who they were looking for. But when I think, Teddy, about like foundational guys, I would think that Joey Bosa would be less of a player that they would look at in free agency with a crap ton of money to spend. He seems like an accent piece. Over the top player. There's one player, Phil and I did this for our podcast today, Malcolm Kuntz from the Raiders. Mm-hmm. He was out last year, but he's a very promising edge rusher who's having a very good season in 2023. He'd be a kind of guy I would target. Milton Williams is not an edge player, but he can impact games on the inside. Those would be two players who I think the Patriots probably should really target. The problem is, as you look at this and do the research on these free agents, go ahead and Google Malcolm Kuntz and say, you know, free agency or ideal situation. Everybody looks at a player like Malcolm Kuntz and projects their pros and cons for coming to their particular team that they're covering. As Vrabel was saying, there's not a lot of cars on the lot. You might have to outpay or overpay for the one that you want. So that would be a Josh Sweat as an edge player. That would be Milton Williams as an interior player. That would be Malcolm Kuntz as an edge guy, even though they don't have Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl stacked up. You might have to spend a crap ton of money.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Tom, I heard you talk with Jones and Keith the other day about a lot of the wide receiver options, and that market seems to sort of ebb and flow. Two-part question. If you had a crystal ball, do you think the Patriots end up with a true number one wide receiver this offseason? And if I asked you to throw a name at me, who do you think the most likely candidate would be?
I think the most attainable would be Chris Godwin. That would be the most attainable because you can bowl him over with money and opportunity, which is Vrabel's, you know, marching orders for these are the two things that we can afford a player, money and opportunity. That's what every player is seeking. So Chris Godwin can have that. Does he have opportunity in Tampa? Yeah, kind of. He's working with Baker Mayfield and a team that has been on the cusp or in the playoffs throughout. So what's your opportunity and how much money can you send to him? And you're talking about a state with zero income taxes as opposed to one with. And, you know, I know that not every game you're taxed on, but half of the games you're going to be taxed significantly here in Massachusetts. It matters, as Bill Belichick pointed out. But, yeah, Chris Godwin would be the first. And then I think that they're going to have to get creative. DK Metcalf spoke to Katie Nolan a few months ago. And all we have to do is follow these tiny breadcrumbs. All we have to go on. Said he didn't find New England appealing. Devontae Adams, he's an older player. Does he want to go to someplace else? DK Metcalf, that's a trade. Excuse me, I already mentioned him. A.J. Brown, he's a player that teams are sniffing around in Philadelphia. Philadelphia has to be reasoned with to explain why that would be a place that should give up on a player once they've just re-signed him to someone. And there would be money to pay and also assets to give up. So to me, I would say Chris Godwin, but yeah, I would say that's what's really dangerous about this free agency. They spoke about we want to be going into the draft without desperate holes to fill. If you don't get Ronnie Stanley, for instance, and Cam Robinson is your
tackle that you're pursuing, and say you don't get him, you still have no left tackle. So if you're sitting there and you have Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, and Will Campbell sitting there, are you going to, with a straight face, go into another season with just a piece of gauze at left tackle? You almost have to take Will Campbell.
So, Tom, couldn't agree with you more as well, but he's not my number four. Not my number four. Certainly not Teddy's number four.
I
but
like
he's Andy's number four.
I like
I think he's going to turn into Zach Martin, Tom, which, you know, great football player, but not the left tackle of the future.
Hey, Fitzy, if he's Matt Light, would you take him before? If we redrafted the 2001 draft, where would Matt Light go? We don't know. But if you could say, hey, we're going to have a 10-year left tackle there who's going to have a one all-pro season and be stable as hell, would you do that for?
As Stone
because
Cold is often
what this
like
draft
to say?
Is.
Hell yeah, brother, I would. Hell yeah, absolutely I would. I know, and Matt Light, measurables too, I understand completely. But I wanted to get your quick spin on this. So I was reading that the Patriots may be interested in Javon Holland, the safety who's going to be part of this year's uncharacteristically aggressive shopping spree for somebody. Could come in at $15 million a year. Do you really we've talked about running back as a sneaky need. Everybody knows they need receivers, draft, D-line, O-line. Do you think safety is the position of need that comes next in the pecking order?
That's kind of TBD in my estimation, because I thought going into last year they had one of the best safety tandems in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I really did. I think Jabril Peppers had, for the 2 years prior, been in many ways their team MVP. Not just their best player on defense. He was their most productive and impactful guy on the entire defense. We know the travails he had in 2024 and the money that he's making. And you look at Kyle Duggar, who dealt with injury, definitely. But he was a spectacular player for them in 2023, and he fell off. Excuse me, in 2022, he fell off a little bit in 2023, still got a contract, and then was hurt in 2024. So I would look elsewhere to spend my money on a player like Javon Holland first, unless you're moving on from whether it be Peppers or Duggar, but I think there's way more leaks to plug. I mean, you don't have a starting right tackle unless you can get and be assured that Caden Wallace turns into that. You don't have a starting right left tackle or right tackle. You don't know if Cole Strange is going to be able to play at a level, and you kind of need a guard. You probably should get a center, too, to get ready to take over for David Andrews. You have one spot on the offensive line. Your defensive line is Christian Barmore, Daniel Okwale, and Devon Godshaw. Oof, and right now, Devon Godshaw is being moved, most likely, and Christian Barmore is kind of a question mark. So before you get back there, you have so many spots.
Yeah, Kyle Duggar making 15, averaging 15 mil a year, and I think that's what Javon Holland was asking for too. So that would be a steep price to have both those guys back. But Tom, just my last question, a fun topic, and I kind of get a kick out of what's going on down there in North Carolina. I'm curious if you got any thoughts on Hard Knocks Gate, with them basically agreeing to do. Which was insane to me that they were going to do a Hard Knocks down there in North Carolina, but now that that has been squashed, you just have any ideas on that story and how that came about ultimately?
It's just fascinating to me because, you know, we've seen Bill trusting Ken Rogers from NFL films in the past, and I understand that that's exactly why he would have found it appealing. But I do understand an NFL resistance to the idea of why are we doing an infomercial for Bill Belichick? Here, he's not in the league. He's now kind of peed on the forehead of at least four or five different owners around the league. His consigliere says that the NFL is a mess and they don't want to be here anyway. Why are we doing this? So I can understand that level of pushback from the league itself. And it also shows on Bill's part either an interest to say, see what you're missing out on? See, look how good I am with these guys, these young guys. You don't think I can relate? So I find it interesting that if they don't want to be in the league, which they have kind of stated outwardly, despite their behavior otherwise, why is there an affinity to continue to do things for the NFL? Look, I'd watch it. I'd watch every episode and rewind many different things, and we'd have a fun time watching it. So I'd be interested in the product. I just wonder what Bill's angle would be in doing it. Is it spiteful? Is it a favor to Ken Rogers? Or is it to try and continue to show how appealing he is to the league?
Tom, we appreciate everything you do, as always, in your spots, middays and here with the afternoon show. And also just wanted to give a quick shout and thanks in advance for your agreeing to appear tomorrow night on the live stream that I put together with Doug Kide and Andrew Callahan to raise money for cancer research, 7:30 to 10 p.m. on Kide, Callahan, and my YouTube channels and Facebooks as well. Tom, you are the anchor spot. You're going to be last up, so you're going to be answering a whole lot of YouTube super chats about Patriots free agency and the draft. Get ready, baby.
I'm looking forward to it very much, and thanks for thinking of me on that.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks, Tom. We'll talk to you next week during free agency, baby.
All right, guys. I'll see you.
See ya.
See ya.